The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. First of all, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Easter. And then we're going to get on with the topic of today, which is going to be dental x-rays. We're also probably going to cover a little bit about how you might go about finding a new dentist later on. And we're going to take your emails. If you would like to send us an email, send your question to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. Or you can call us at 821-1230. All right, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to throw out a question out there, and people can call in with their guess. There was a survey done, a national survey, where respondents were asked to rate the importance of different dental procedures. What percent of them do you think? Well, let's tell you what, let's do it the other way. 85% of those folks responding said this was important for their dentist to be checking. 85% of the people responding said this was important to them for the dentist to be checking. All right, so we'll take your calls and your emails, and we'll get to the answer of that for that later. Okay, dental x-rays. Dental x-rays, there seems to be a lot of confusion out there about dental x-rays, radiation in general. And for those of you that don't know, I taught at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry for 20 years. In the x-ray department. So I've had a little bit of experience with this. And the first thing that comes to mind is that people will say to us, I don't want any x-rays. You know, I had x-rays taken 2 years ago. Can you use those? And, you know, the answer is really, honestly, no. And I know that's not what they want to hear. And I know that's not what you want to hear. But, you know, it's 2 years ago. That's a snapshot in time, just like a photo is a snapshot in time. It tells us what was happening 2 years ago, but it doesn't tell us much about what's happening right here and now. I like to go on and say to a person who's in my office, I'll say, would you buy a house with a 2.5-year-old termite report? And, of course, I get the blank stare, like, of course not. Well, then why would you want me to use 2.5-year-old x-rays, or even 1-year-old x-rays? And even if you were willing to buy that house without the current termite report, I don't think your bank would let you. So think about that as you as you plan your dental care, as you go to the office, the dentist or hygienist says we need to get x-rays today. It is very, very important. Now, I mean, what's the reason that people say I don't want x-rays? Well, obviously it's a concern over radiation. So let's talk a little bit about that. Well, here's a question. Does anybody know what x-rays means? What is an x-ray? I mean, what does that name stand for? It's an interesting word. And so if you have any ideas on that, feel free to let me know. And we'll see if somebody can guess that. All right, now, when we take x-rays in the dental office, we use lead aprons. And that's to protect you from excess radiation. Radiation is ionizes tissue, which means when it strikes tissue, free radicals or ions are given off. And so it does do damage to the tissue that it reaches. But it's minimal in the case of dental x-rays, partly because we use specific area radiation. And that's the way we do it is the beam, that little small beam, the cone. And that beam is columnated, meaning it's focused, and it only sends x-rays to the site that we need them. Your entire body is not getting x-rayed. So even if you weren't wearing the lead apron, your entire body is not receiving x-rays. With the lead apron, you're even that much better off. Now, tissues that are the most susceptible to x-rays, radiation, are those tissues that are rapidly growing. That would be obviously pregnant women who have a fetus. It would be children who are rapidly growing. Children all grow. And it would be gonadal tissue. So your lap. And that's what the lead apron protects. So of the tissues that aren't covered by the lead apron, oh, keep in mind in dental offices we use a thyroid collar, cover up your thyroid. So of the tissues that do receive some radiation when we do a dental radiologic survey, the lens of your eye would be the most sensitive. However, using the old-style x-ray, and I call them the old-style because I've been using digital for about five and a half, almost 6 years now, but if you're going to an office that hasn't gone digital yet and they still use x-ray film, they develop it in a processor and bring it out and hold it up to a light, it would take 20 times the amount of radiation you receive by having a full set of dental x-rays to show any measurable change in the lens of the eye, and that would mean 20 full series at once, and even that little bit of change would heal itself in no time. Now, if you are going to an office that is digital, like mine, there are two types of digital x-rays. There are the phosphor plates, which look like real x-rays. They're in plastic packages that we package, and those decrease the radiation fivefold. So in that case, it would take 100 times the amount you would get with a full series using the phosphor plates before you would see any measurable change in the lens. Of course, you're not going to see the change. It would have to be something, some kind of a test you had. And if you're using the hard sensor for digital x-rays, which we also have at the office, that cuts the radiation 11-fold. So if you had a x-ray survey of your mouth, a full mouth x-ray survey, using the hard sensor, you'd have to have 220 of those at once to show any measurable change in the lens of the eye. And keep in mind, all of the other tissues that are rapidly growing are covered by the lead apron, so they receive absolutely nothing. Now, just to give you a perspective, we're surrounded by radiation. We're surrounded by background radiation. You know, you probably remember hearing about radon gas. There are radon tests in certain parts of the country, especially those that have a lot of shale, give off a certain amount of radiation in the form of radon. Also, the sun gives off gamma rays. Now, gamma rays do the same thing to our tissues as dental x-rays, and that's ionizing, okay? It's one of the reasons that we're so concerned about the ozone, a hole in the ozone. It's also a concern of NASA. When they send astronauts into space, they are no longer protected by Earth's atmosphere, and they therefore receive a lot of ionizing radiation, and it's one of the problems that we're going to have to solve if we're ever going to send people to Mars. That's also why you might notice that maybe if those of you remember like pictures of the lunar lander, it had kind of a metallic reflective mylar. And of course, you probably know that x-rays do not penetrate metal. The metal will stop the x-ray from reaching the film. That's why our silver fillings show up white. But just to give you another perspective, when you're on a jet traveling from, say, Columbus to L.A., you travel at about 35,000 feet, and for every hour you're in the air, it's the equivalent of receiving 3 dental x-rays, and therefore, if you actually do fly to L.A., which is about a five and a half hour flight, that would be the equivalent of the amount of x-rays you would receive if you had the old-style x-rays taken just by flying from here to L.A. Now, I don't know if there's anybody out there that has ever canceled their vacation or their trip to L.A. or a 5-6 hour flight because they were concerned about the radiation. But we'll have people come into the office and say, I don't want to have x-rays today. I just am afraid of the radiation. There are some other type of x-rays that are available. New on the scene for dental, at least, is a CAT scan. Now, CAT scans, There's a new technology that allows us to take, for example, a person's bite and make a little jig that has little markers on it, and then person wears that when they're getting a CAT scan, and we get a report back, and it shows us information such as where we might want to place an implant and how to get it positioned properly around the, next to the nerve instead of on the nerve, or knowing that the architecture of the bone is not satisfactory. The other x-rays that we do would be a bite wing. Those are the ones with the little tabs that you bite on, just as the word says. And what those do is they give us really good information that helps us see where decay is. It lets us see the height of the bone, which is how we determine periodontal disease. Lets us see if you have trauma from occlusion, meaning your teeth hitting incorrectly, one hitting harder than another. It also allows us to see just how close maybe an old restoration was to the nerve. It allows us to see how that restoration, how competent it is. Is it chipping away around the edges? Is there new decay that's forming? And so that's a bite wing. That's the most common. The other, another is a periapical. Refer to it as a PA. The periapical also allows us to see decay. And in a lot of cases, we can see decay on the periapical that we couldn't have seen on the bite wing. Now keep in mind, bite wing films, they don't show the root tip. They just show like the top of the bottom tooth and the bottom of the top teeth. But a periapical does what it says, which is, gives us a view of the periapex, the perimeter of the apical or apex of your tooth root. Well, that's a very important part to see, because if you have an abscess, that's where it's going to show. So without that, we're pretty much flying in the dark. And we're not instrument rated, by the way. So it would be a strict guess at that point. So that's what a PA will do. And keep in mind, there's some decay that only shows up on a bite wing, not on a PA, and some decay that only shows up on a PA and not the bite wing. Alright, so then there's the Panorex, the panoramic x-ray, the panoral, the orthopanoral, all kinds of names that all kind of sound like a panoramic view of your mouth. A lot of you are used to receiving a Panorex and four bite wings. And this is kind of a way of kind of getting a view of what's going on and keeping the radiation levels down. The problem with Panorex x-rays is they don't have that real sharp detail that you need to pick up decay. If it's a big cavity, of course, it's going to show up. But if it's just your garden variety cavity that's getting started, the kind that you'd like to catch before it gets big, it really won't show up on a Panorex x-ray. And so keep in mind that Panorexes shouldn't be used as a replacement for bite wings. Now, the other reason we take Panorexes, and one of the primary reasons, to be honest, is to look and see what the wisdom teeth are doing. It's the best way to catch them all. They're usually, or more often than not, they're laying sideways, forward, facing forward. Biting surfaces pointing out of your mouth instead of up like they should be on a lower, and down like they should be on an upper. So, with the Panorex, we can see the entire tooth. We can see the root structure. We can see the just how low, how high they are. Are they going to be a problem? Are they going to be able to come in? You know, that sort of thing. So, every one of those x-rays serves a purpose. Now, we're talking about radiation and safety and the kind of concerns. And one of the things that comes to mind is how that compares to, say, a medical visit that you might have. So I want you to think about that for a little bit. Think about the last time you went to either an emergency room or your physician for an x-ray of any type. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the comparisons of how it is at a dental office and a medical setting. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and today we're talking about dental x-rays. That's the primary topic. We'll get on to some other things later. We did put out a question earlier, and the question was 85% of national respondents to a dental survey indicated that they wanted their dentist to check for what. So far, we've had a couple guesses. What Jen called in and said, cavities? Not correct. And the other guess from Tom was abscesses. So, you're probably getting close, but not there yet. The other thing is we were talking about lead aprons and the difference between your medical visit and your dental visit. And I don't know about you, but when I've gone to the emergency room because I thought I maybe had a broken bone of some sort, they put my, you know, maybe it's my forearm, they put my forearm on the x-ray table. They leave or they go around behind a big lead-lined wall and they take the x-ray. I've personally never been offered a lead apron to cover any other part of my body while having a medical x-ray. I think that would go for mammograms. That would go for, I don't know of anybody that's ever had that. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, what happens, I believe, is in dentistry, we have tried to do our very best to be protect our patients and do the best job we can. And what happens then is people misperceive that as, well, gee, these x-rays must be more dangerous than the ones at my doctor's office if they need that apron. And so I need to maybe decline them. Maybe I don't want these. In fact, I had a gentleman when I was at the dental school teaching years and years ago. Lead aprons just weren't used by anyone. And so as years progressed and this concern about the safety came about, the dental school came on board and decided that everybody in the dental school would be given a lead apron for their dental x-rays. So this gentleman was a long-term patient. He'd come to the dental school for quite a while. And I'd never met him before, but it was my job to look in a person's mouth, determine what x-rays were appropriate, and then instruct and aid the students in taking these films. Well, he said, "What's this for?" Talking about the lead apron. And I said, "It's a lead apron. It's to protect you." He goes, "Well, they never used it before." And I said, "Well, that's because we're just trying to be more careful these days." He goes, "Well, that machine is so strong that I need this, I don't want them." And I said, "Sir, it's the same machine they used on you, you know, 2 years ago. I don't care, I don't want them." So, you know, I think that what has happened is in our effort to be careful, in our effort to be safe, in our effort to do right by our patients, we've somehow sent the wrong message to people thinking that they're really, really dangerous. Now, we don't want to use them indiscriminately, of course. And we don't. In fact, the number of x-rays we take or request to take has been greatly reduced over time. There were some studies done, one of them right at OSU, where a series of x-rays were looked at, and they would look at that after the fact, kind of mining the data, so to speak, and looking to see, you know, chart the decay, chart the abscesses, chart the periodontal disease, chart everything using this full series of x-rays. And then he would take the x-rays, the researcher would take the x-rays and take away certain ones and maybe just include certain teeth and then give them to dentists to examine and write down what they found. And he found basically that we were able to find pretty much the same disease processes with some fewer x-rays. So that was good. And so now when somebody comes in the room, in the dental chair from my office, we'll look in their mouth and we look for things like large restorations and crowns and, you know, ask them if they had root canals, are your wisdom teeth missing, that sort of thing, so that we can really hone in on what x-rays are appropriate for that individual and not just, you know, one size fits all. Now, getting back to the Panorex, I wanted to talk a little more. There are more things that Panorex will show us besides wisdom teeth. It shows us, if you have an abscess and it's big enough, it will show that. It shows your sinus cavities. And actually, we can see cysts in the sinuses. Mucoid retention cyst is a common one that you see. Looks kind of like the cap of a mushroom up inside a sinus. We can see if the sinus is cloudy. And in fact, a lot of times people come to the office and they say, you know, Dr. Kvitko, everything on my, like all my upper left teeth hurt, all the back ones. And I just can't put my finger on which one it is. Well, more often than that, it's the sinus. Like sinus infection, sinus inflammation, doesn't have to be infection. And so there's this pressure. They don't even have a cold. They don't know they have a sinus problem. They just have these sore teeth. And we take this panoramic x-ray, and it will show if there's a cloudiness. So, for example, if something is dark on an x-ray, it's something that freely allowed the x-rays to actually be transmitted to the film. The lighter it is, the more dense the object is that the x-ray had to travel through, and the whiter it will be. So essentially, white, you know, stark white would be like a silver filling. None of the x-rays reached the film. It was stopped by that silver. But then enamel stops x-rays at a different level, greater level than dentin. Dentin stops them at a greater level than the pulp tissue, and which is very similar to cheeks and lips and tongue and that sort of thing. So we have we can also see tumors. Tumors, cysts, also the temporomandibular joint, or TMJ as it's referred to. We can see that. We can see the innervation or the nerve pattern. So many things that gives us. And the other thing to keep in mind is the Panorex film. When we take that, we give a person a lead apron that covers their front and back of their body to protect them. And also, because that is an extraoral film, you know, there's no film in your mouth when you have that taken, inside the package where the x-ray film itself is, there are these screens called intensifying screens. And they basically, it's like material that glows when light hits it, or in this case, that glows when radiation hits it. So we've been able then, by putting the intensifying screens in that cassette, to cut the radiation level way, way down over what it used to be, of course, or what you would think. So, all right, well, let's continue the discussion on x-rays when we come back after the break. And we'll be willing to take your calls at 821-1230. And you can send us an email at the email address is dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
You're always in my heart from early in the morning till it's dark. I gotta see you, sweet, sweet.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. This morning we've been talking about x-rays, radiation safety, why we take x-rays, how does it compare to the medical field when you're having x-rays taken. Let me give the answer to our poll question of the day. And it was 85% of respondents to a national dental survey said that this was important to them for their dentist to check. The answer is periodontal disease. So 85% of you feel that periodontal disease is important to have checked when you come to the dentist. That's not that surprising. And just so that you know, the number one answer at 88% was cavities. All right, so let's get back to the x-ray question. And earlier I mentioned, I threw out the notion that people tend to not even know what does x-ray mean? I mean, what does that X stand for? Well, the answer is, we don't know. In fact, Conrad Röntgen, who first discovered x-rays, didn't know what he had, so he named them X. It's as simple as that. Oftentimes radiation is referred to in units called Röntgens, named after Conrad Röntgen that discovered them. And so if we're trying to do radiation equivalence, oftentimes you'll hear that. How many Röntgens or milliröntgens are we talking about? So we were talking about the Panorex. We were talking about, and for those of you that don't remember, that's the film that goes all the way around your head, like a panoramic view, how we have you wear a lead apron, and the kinds of information that we get from a Panorex. Now, what if you come in the office and you have no teeth? And you know you want dentures. Well, let's say you've been wearing dentures for 10 years, 20 years, and you come to me and you want new dentures. Well, I'm going to want to take a Panorex. And I can tell you that when I tell people that, they go, well, I know I don't have any teeth, Doc. Why do you need an x-ray? I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. And the answer is no, it's not ridiculous at all. And in my years, I've seen several interesting things on a panoramic x-ray taken on an edentulous person. One that comes to mind is someone who thought all of their wisdom teeth had been removed, and turns out there was one that hadn't been, and it was his lower right molar. It was laying sideways, facing forward in the bone. And what had happened, oh, and by the way, one of the reasons why you want to have your wisdom teeth removed, if they're impacted, is because they can become cystic. any tissue that stems from epithelium can form a cyst. So, what had happened in his case is he got a dentigerous cyst, which means a cyst around a tooth, around that impacted wisdom tooth, and it started to grow. He didn't know he had it, didn't even know he had the tooth, wasn't giving him any pain. And so for years, this thing continued to grow, and as it grew, it occupied space in his jawbone. It essentially ate away at the jawbone, because two things can't occupy the same space at once. So as the cyst grew, the bone got smaller and smaller, a bigger hole. So when he came in to us for what he thought would be a routine visit to have a new set of dentures made, I discovered this. And I had to, we referred him to our oral surgery department. And the word I got back was that it was so hollowed out, his jaw was so hollowed out, that they were not going to be able to save the right side of his mandible. So here's someone that, just because an x-ray wasn't taken, had some pretty serious surgery, and now only has the left side of his lower jaw. Not a very pleasant thing. So we have that. And then we also have, we talked a little bit about the sinus cavities as far as infections and inflammation, but the other reason that you would want to see the sinus cavities is because sinus cavities are under pressure and they enlarge. They will drop down from where they are, which is above the teeth, and when teeth are removed, they push on that bone and essentially make the cavity bigger, making the bone by the teeth smaller. And so that's an important thing to know in the event that somebody wants an implant. It's an important thing to know when it comes to wearing a denture, because if you don't have very much bone, but what you have is relatively sharp, maybe the way bone heals sometimes after extractions isn't real smooth, it's bumpy, and in some cases actually sharp. So one of the treatments that we would do for somebody like that prior to making them a denture might be to go in, make an incision, go in and smooth off these sharp edges. Well, if the sinus cavity has gotten so large that they only have a few millimeters of bone left between the denture, say, and the sinus, you couldn't do that. So then you would have to opt for another approach, and most likely that would be a sinus lift, where the some surgery is done coming in from this side of the sinus, kind of up inside your upper cheek. And bone is then packed into the sinus to fill in the gaps that, or not the gaps, but to basically recreate the bone to the thickness that it used to be. So now this person can either wear an implant, have an implant placed and wear crowns and bridges, or some kind of a hybrid prosthesis, or the person can at least have an upper denture made that they can comfortably wear. And again, this all stems back to having a good panoramic x-ray. Now, the periapicals, the bite wings, those other films that I mentioned, they need to be good films. There's no sense trying to use a bad film. And I honestly feel that if it was important enough for me to want to take an x-ray to begin with, that if for some reason it's not a good angle, it's blurred, patient moved, coughed, gagged, whatever, and I don't have the information I need, I'm going to retake it, because if I thought it was important enough to take it the first place, we need to retake it, because we still don't have the information we need. All right, we're going to go to another break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. We'll take your emails at dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. And our phone number is 821-1230. So stay with us and come back after the break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. Today we've been talking about dental x-rays and how they compare to medical and the kind of information that we can get from a dental x-ray. And the thing that we were talking about last was how a Panorex allowed us to find this cyst that this person had, and unfortunately we weren't able to catch that in time for that individual. We also can catch tumors, cancer that has affected the bones, later stages of osteoporosis will show up on a dental x-ray. And so, you know, I get asked all the time, well, why do you need an x-ray? Because can't you just tell by looking in my mouth? I mean, if you look real close, aren't you going to see these cavities? Aren't you going to see these problems? And the answer is no. I mean, we'll see some things, but without the x-rays, we're not even getting half of the story. And so if I feel a cavity, for example, with my Explorer, and I say, John, you have a cavity, we need to do a filling. If you don't let me take an x-ray, then I do a filling, say, on the biting surface, and the whole time there was also a cavity in between the teeth, and I'm not doing you any good because I'm only filling in half of it. I won't even see the decay that came in from the side because the two don't necessarily connect. They're two completely different episodes. Now, on front teeth, sometimes we can see with a bright light. We can shine a light through there called transillumination, and that's great. But it's very nice to also have the x-ray confirmation of that. And the other thing is, you know, in kids, and we talked earlier about how in children, you know, they are more susceptible to the radiation because they're rapidly growing. Remember, any rapidly growing tissue is more susceptible. But in children, we need to see what's happening with those primary teeth, what's happening with the adult teeth that are going to come in and replace them. And so it's more important almost in children that we get x-rays, anywhere from a supernumerary tooth that may be growing up above their upper lip, getting in the way of the adult front two teeth to come in, anywhere from that to being born without an adult tooth, knowing in advance from an x-ray that there is no tooth that's going to come in and replace this baby tooth. So therefore, we need to take very good care of it and keep it for as long as we can. To teeth where the roots aren't properly closing. To cases where someone had a baby tooth fall out and only one of the roots actually came out. The other one is embedded in there. And, of course, we talked how that can become a cyst. And if you don't know it's there, we wouldn't know to go and remove it before it could become an issue. It seems like there are many, many, many more reasons to have dental x-rays than to not have them. That is obviously very clear to me because it's without it, we'd be going back 100 years almost as far as our ability to diagnose and therefore treat. So I'm hoping that I've been able to calm your fears a little bit about the dental x-rays that you have taken, partly because of the fact that you now know that we do protect you with lead aprons. We only take the x-rays that are needed and use them wisely. But on the other hand, if we don't have these x-rays, then we're just not able to do what we need to do. Some of the things that you would see excuse me, on a on those intraoral films, the periapical and the bite wings that we haven't talked about would be a cracked tooth. Many of you have experienced this tooth that it just kind of hurts when you chew. You get a zing. Or you have a tooth that has gotten loose relatively recent. A couple things that can cause that, of course, would be gum disease, bone loss, periodontal disease. But the other thing that could have caused that or be the cause of that is a root fracture. Maybe you bumped your tooth, don't remember it. Maybe playing basketball or something. Didn't really think much about it, but this tooth is a little loose, and you know, you think, oh, it'll probably tighten up. And maybe your dentist even said it probably will if it was a minor bump. But in a lot of those cases, it's like that because you've actually fractured the root right up inside the bone. Sometimes it's a horizontal fracture, sometimes it's a vertical fracture. None of that can be seen without an x-ray. But what happens if you don't do anything? You just say, so what if it's broken? I don't care as long as it stays in there. That would not be good because your body notices there's an issue. It notices there's a crack or separation. And what it does is it tries to heal. We're going to talk a little bit about your body's response to that. When we come back after the break, and all of these other things that x-rays do for us that allow us to do a better job for you. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling.
I'm Dr. Kvitko, and you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Before I forget, I want you to know that this show is available on demand, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, by going to www.talk1230wyts and going to the podcast page for Dr. Kvitko. All right. Before we went to the break, we were talking about some more things you can see or I can see on a dental x-ray. We talked about cracked teeth. And I just thought during the break, I would be remiss if I didn't mention periodontal disease, tartar, calculus. All my periodontist friends would be upset with me if I had forgotten to mention that. And you know what? We need to see these x-rays so that we can tell if you have tartar below the gum line. Because if you do, a regular cleaning isn't going to do it for you. You'll have to have what's called root planing and curettage, which means being numbed and having myself or my hygienist or somebody get well below the gum line to get all that debris off. Now, the reason we spent today talking about x-rays is to try to, enlighten people as to why we take them, how they're safe, how they compare to medical x-rays. And I want to talk a little bit about why would somebody even say, besides radiation concerns, which I think we have solved or at least addressed, that I don't want x-rays today. Well, what I'm finding is a lot of times it has to do with dental insurance. They'll say, well, my insurance doesn't cover them yet. So let me tell you a little bit about that. And there's going to be another whole show coming up down the line about dental insurance. We won't want to get too deep into that today. But insurance companies have these limitations. They say you can only take bite wings every so often. They don't say you can only take them. What they say is, we'll only pay for them every so many months or years. And that's a distinction. So people need to keep in mind that they're in charge of their dental health, not their insurance company. So I had a situation at the office actually just this week where a woman was upset that x-rays that we took were not covered by her insurance company. And she was angry at us for taking them to begin with. And so angry that she thought we should have refunded her the money. Because I guess it should have been up to us to figure out if they were covered or not. Well, I explained to her, we had a very nice conversation on the phone, and I explained to her that we are looking out for your best interest. We are looking out for your dental health. Your dental insurance company is simply looking out for the bottom line. I mean, I love insurance companies. We need them, don't get me wrong, and we'll have more conversations about this. But the reality is they sit down and they say, okay, we're collecting this much money. We want to figure out a way to only pay out that much money so that we make a profit. If they don't make a profit, they go out of business, and that wouldn't be a good thing either. So, but if you can get the concept, which is they are not really thinking about your dental health, they're thinking about their bottom line, it's a little bit easier to understand. Okay, so I emailed her a copy of one of the x-rays that we had taken, and it had a very, very deep cavity, one that literally could already be in need of a root canal. And I told her, if you don't get in the next few weeks, you're going to need a root canal on this tooth. Well, the root canal, root canals cost just over $1,000 for a molar. And her part of a root canal after insurance would be, I think she said $400 or $500. Well, that's a large amount of money compared to the $100 or so that she was upset about having to pay for her dental x-ray, which she didn't think she needed because her insurance company wasn't going to pay for it yet. So, there you go. There's an example of having an x-ray, benefiting the patient, allowing her to come in and get just a simple filling. We hope, of course, we don't know yet on this one, because she had been just doing what the insurance companies were going to pay for up to the time that we met, and almost got herself in trouble. But we won't know yet, because like I said, we just had this conversation this week, and I think she's going to get herself scheduled. I think she might have scheduled for next week or so. So, keep that in mind. The x-rays are not bad. They're good. They help you with your dental health. They allow us to catch things when they're small, allow us to, obviously it's easier to have a small filling done than it is to have a root canal. It's a lot cheaper as well. Root canals lead to crowns, that's more money, and nobody wants to have larger fillings than they needed, or crowns when they could have gotten away with a filling. So your overall health is better, and your pocketbook is a little bit better off for it as well. So, thanks for listening. This is Dr. Kvitko. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Never a sadness, and though